Welcome to the Collision Podcast, where church and culture collide. We hope you enjoy.
All right, what's up, everybody? What's going on?
Hey,
it's
hey,
your
hey.
Boy HP. I'm in the building with a couple fellas. We got Pastor Brown in the house. We got Ivan, Pastor Ivan in the house. PB, what's up with you, man?
Man, it's good to be here, man. We're kicking off something we've never done before. Our first little podcast. Good to be in the house with y'all.
Already,
good to be in the house.
Already. Big Ivan, what's up, man?
Man, you know what? We're so excited, like Brown said, to just talk. I think one thing that we don't do enough is just chat, and then let's see what comes out of that.
True. Yeah.
That's good.
So, man, I'm excited. This is our podcast, the Collision Podcast, When Church and Culture Collide.
Mm.
Man, we go get deep, man. We go deal with some tension, and some people go be mad about some of the things that we say, but that's why we're here, right?
The comment section might get a little crazy.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to make anybody mad. I don't care. That's
he's a good guy.
I'm trying to make friends.
Good cop.
So listen. When we think about the Collision Podcast, and when we deal with the church and culture colliding, when I think about that, I think about the tension that's always taking place and the rules that culture may have versus what the church may have. And there's always this thing where culture says church is not doing enough.
Sure.
And the church is always saying, we've been here, we've been serving, we've been on our P's and Q's. Like, we're always wrestling with these rules of what the church should be doing versus what the culture says we should be doing. So when you think about this tension that's taking place, PB, what comes to mind?
Man, specifically about, you know, culture telling the church what to do, that's always been an area where I just got to clench my fists.
Yeah.
And not because I'm so angry, but because it's borderline offensive. I know a lot of people in culture have been a part of the church, but typically you have those who have no affiliation with the church that are launching the greatest complaints against the church.
Absolutely.
And it is infuriating. That's where my fists are clenched when I hear these statements, and it's like, dude, you know, we are actively engaged on a weekly basis and have been that for centuries.
For centuries.
But, you know, people have their hurt, they have their prejudices against established religion in general, and so I think we're going to always have that tension, that collision of church and culture.
Yeah.
Just don't fight nobody, man. I mean.
Man, I got skills, man. Sometimes I got to just do what I got to do, man.
If you're not careful, people will make you want to throw some hands.
That's true. Just,
you know,
facts.
Step in my square. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Cross this line, you know?
Cross this line.
So, Ivan, when you think about the church and culture colliding and dealing with this tension, what comes to mind?
You know, and I, what I chose to do was not prepare anything ahead of time. I was like, you know what, in the moment, I'm going to see what comes up and we're going to go from there. I think what's interesting is this has always existed in a different way. It was just called church and state.
Right.
And we were cool with that because it was this government thing. But now, as this newer generation has grown, and they're like, no, you need to hear my voice.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of become this like, well, no. Now it's church and culture.
Right.
And I've always seen it this way, is you have the church preaching one message. You got the culture preaching another message.
Yeah.
And that's where the tension hits.
Yeah.
When it's like, my For You page says this.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, but my pastor said this. Or I was reading scripture, it said this. So it's those moments where we don't agree. Instead of digging deep into figuring out why we don't agree, it's like, no, I'm right, you're wrong.
Right.
It's literally become this whole one group is completely right and the other group is completely wrong. And there is no space for conversation.
Right.
And that's what's created the tension. That's kind of what I believe.
Yeah. So what do we do to keep our frustrations and our tension below the red line, you know, at that boiling point, you know, so we won't get into these battles on Facebook? Because I'm guilty.
Oh, man.
I will
die. Facebook arguments?
Yes, I am like the Facebook argue, like, I will do it. Like, if you come against my family, my church, my pastor, I'm that guy.
We can fight.
I will take culture head on and say, you know, where were you when we were?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And they always want to use the Bible to support their argument.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's not even lining up with what they're saying.
Yep. That's real talk. Now, see, I'm a little different. I refuse to debate. Whenever I have a little confrontation, especially social media, I will give the individual a rebuttal, and then I'll let them know, okay, I'm going to give you one more response, and then we're moving on. Because one thing I've discovered, whenever I, in the past, had gone tit for tat, we never resolved anything.
That's true.
And I think that is because, you know, of course, there is a collision, but I think greater than that is everyone's trying to win.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to win. And everyone everyone is the expert. Everyone, you know, those that are outside the church know more than those inside the church. Those that are in the church that are not really fully immersed in the culture, you know, they feel they know everything about culture. So it's like the only way we're going to really make any progress is if we begin to listen to each other.
Yeah.
And that's the part that frustrates me.
How many responses have you have you typed out and then immediately deleted?
Oh, man.
How many things have you heard in your DMs that you're just like, you know what? I'm just gonna go and ignore that.
All the time.
Typing out a whole paragraph and you're like, okay, you know what?
Yep.
I'm somebody's dad. You know.
Gotta remember that.
So with all that being said, why do we have to have this conversation? Like, okay, on the surface, yeah, young people are leaving the church, and we need clarity. People need to know who the church is, what we stand for, etc. But outside of that, why do we need to have this conversation?
I'm gonna go jump that one first. I think the reason we have to have it, and I mentioned it earlier, right? I said the church is like, well, I'm right, I have the truth. Culture is like, well, I'm right, I have the truth.
Sure.
And what we've fallen into is this whole, well, you know what, your truth is your truth. You live your truth, you live your truth.
Yeah.
And that sounds great, and that sounds, you know, all kumbaya and stuff, but that's not biblical.
Right. Yeah.
Like, there has to be absolute truth. Because if everybody's right, then no one's right.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Then nobody's right. So I think the reason we have to have the conversation is to get to absolute truth.
Sure.
To me, that's kind of like, you know, there has to be this absolute truth. But we have to do it different than the way it was done before. Because the way it was done before was, here's a Bible in my hand, I'm going to hit you over the head with it. I'm going to tell you why I'm right.
Right.
That was how it was done for generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the reason so many young people are leaving the church was because that's not what I want to be a part of.
Yeah, rules.
Like you're preaching to me about this Jesus and his love, but what you're showing me isn't that.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of young people are leaving the church not because they want to find something different, but because they don't see the Jesus we talk to them about
in us. Yeah,
that's why they're like, you told me about this really cool guy, I just don't see him here, so let me go look for him somewhere else.
So I just told my friend that we have the Christian language, the Christian language, but we lack the character.
Ooh. Oh, that's good.
That goes back to what you said. Okay, like I hear what you're saying, but you're showing me something totally different. So I'm gonna go find somewhere where I can hear the language and the character and make it make sense.
Yeah,
to
that's real.
I would always say it this way: is we use the words of Jesus, but we use a tone that he never used.
Oh, that's good
tone. Man.
And that's so powerful.
That is.
Ivan is the deep one.
He's real. Yeah. But I'm gonna come in. I think these conversations are so important, and it is up to us, I believe, to do a part of the initiating of the conversations, which I think that we're a part of. Of course, I got to bring my word in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, if you were to find that in any version of the scriptures you use, it speaks of us being salt and light.
That's
verses 13, 14, 15. We're being salt and light. And it speaks of, you know, actually touching and shining. And in order for that to take place, we have to collide.
We have to
engage. But here's the tricky part for us. In maintaining our Jesus speak and Jesus tone is we have to touch without losing our saltiness. So we're exposed to it, but we can't lose the essence of who we are. So I can't respond the way everyone else would respond. I can't try to win an argument at the cost of destroying an individual. I don't have that luxury. And I think that's when we collide, you know, there is contact. but we're colliding also with some hugs. Well, pre-COVID, but yeah, we're colliding with a hug. But even with that hug, we're gonna give you some truth. We're gonna give you some truth.
I miss like hugs, it. Though.
I miss hugging too, man. Yeah. I hug my wife, so that helps. But yeah, that's good.
Man, that's good. Warren, where's because that contact without contamination.
Ooh, that's good.
Make a note of that. Contact without contamination.
Yeah. And so we have to collide with people without, everything Pastor Brian just said.
That's good. That's good.
And I think one of the things that we're trying to do with this thing is this idea that's been with me for a while now. And that's we have to be a minimum. Okay. We have to be willing. You know, a lot of times the church is afraid to use that word compromise. Like, oh my God, we're not compromised. And that's true. But what we do need to compromise is our when and our where and our how.
Yeah.
As long as we never compromise the what.
The what. Yeah.
As long as the what is never compromised.
True.
Podcasts, social media, church, Facebook Live church, Instagram Live, doing church on TikTok. None of those things are a negative thing, because as long as they don't compromise the why. And that's what we're trying to do here, right? Mm-hmm. We're trying to have a conversation with people in a different aspect. Everybody's used to podcasts. Right. People are used to criminal podcasts, all sports podcasts. So it's like, look, if that's such a booming industry, why not take the most amazing message of them all and drop it into that thing, and that's what we're here to do.
I love
that's
it.
Good. That's good.
I love it. Well, fellas, man, this was a good start off whatever we
all
we're saying.
That.
Yeah.
All of those in one.
And so, man, listen, guys, thank you for listening to us. Catch us next time with our Collision podcast.
Yes, sir.
When the church and culture collide. See you next time.
Take care.
Peace.